We're turning in our Bibles, please, to the Old Testament, to the book of Job, the chapter 19, very well-known verses we're going to consider this evening. Job chapter 19, going to break into the chapter, commencing to read from the verse 23. We read here, Job chapter 19, verse 23, where Job said, "Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book, that they were graven with an iron pen and laid in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold and not another, though my reins be consumed within me." Amen. And we trust and pray that God will write his word upon our hearts. "And I know that my Redeemer liveth." The book of Job is an amazing and inspiring account of the faith of God's servant in the midst of very difficult trials and tests and severe tests. Job was undoubtedly a man who knew and who loved the Lord, who despite the changing circumstances of life, sought to honor the Lord and live for the Lord. Now, Job was a man who knew much about Christ. I think that we do the Old Testament saints and prophets a very great disservice if we think and believe that they didn't really understand and know much about the Savior and about his person and his work. For instance, in the book of Hebrews, we're told about Abraham, that he was a man who looked for a city. And whilst he was here making that pilgrimage through life, Abraham had the eye of faith. He was looking toward heaven, looking toward glory. But Abraham was a man who knew much about Christ. The Old Testament prophets and saints, saved just like the way you and I are, by the cross, by looking to the cross, rather the Christ of the cross. In fact, Abraham, the Lord Jesus Christ, speaking about Abraham, said, "Your father Abraham rejoice to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." There's a double emphasis there. The Lord Jesus Christ was saying that Abraham in time, he looked forward to the cross. He looked forward to that time when Christ Jesus would come into the world and lay down his life as the perfect sacrifice. Abraham, by faith, embraced the Son of God. He looked forward in time. That's what caused him to persevere. That's what kept him ongoing and enduring despite the hardships of trials. You think of that time whenever the Lord spoke to Abraham. And in Genesis chapter 22, we find there that basically the Lord tested Abraham. He didn't tempt him, but he tested him. "Abraham, you say you love me. Now prove it. Take your son, take Isaac." At that stage, Isaac was most probably in his early teens. Abraham, now a man of maybe 110 plus years of age, the child of his old age, the child whom his heart loved. And God said, "Abraham, prove you love me. Take your son Isaac, offer him there as a burnt sacrifice upon Mount Moriah." We find there that Abraham took the lad. And by faith, he went to Moriah. You see, Abraham believed that even had he have killed his son, that God would have raised his son Isaac from the dead. Such was his faith. And let me say that that faith was founded upon Christ. He was resting in Christ. He knew much about Christ. David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, knew much about the Lord Jesus. Psalm 110, we're not going to turn to it, but we think of that great psalm that brings us to consider the Lord Jesus Christ. And there it's referred to in the book of Acts in the chapter 2. Peter preaching at Pentecost, speaking about David and how he looked forward in time. And the Lord saying to his Lord, sit thou my right hand till I make thine enemies my footstool. And can I say likewise, Job looked forward. By the eye of faith, Job looked forward in time. He looked forward to Calvary and to the Christ who would come. There are many things that Job knew and understood. He knew about sin. He knew about Christ, the only Savior. He knew about Christ's resurrection, his second coming. He knew about heaven, his assurance of salvation. In fact, in relation to some of the things that Job knew and understood, we read the words, I know. We find the words, I know, occurring a number of times in the book of Job with specific reference to Job. For instance, if you want to turn with me to Job chapter 21, just over a couple of chapters in verse 27, here we find something that Job was very confident about. Job 21 verse 27, where he is speaking here with regards to his friends, and he says, behold, I know your thoughts and the devices which ye wrongfully imagine against me. Job knew what they were insinuating. He knew what his friends were implying, that he was a man who was living unholy and a man who therefore displeased the Lord and was being chastised. And Job knew what they were insinuating. But he also knew that the Lord is the one who knows all things and that God knew his heart. How that the Lord knew that he was living right. Look with me at Job 13, for instance, in the words of verse 2. Something else that Job knew. Back in this chapter, chapter 13, verse 2, what ye know, the same do I know also. I am not inferior unto you. In other words, Job was saying here, regarding with the Lord, regarding with the great Creator God, his perfections, his sovereignty, his holiness, his majesty, his justice, wisdom, and power. Job says, I understand, I know these things. I'm not inferior to you in my knowledge about the Lord and God's dealings with men. This is something that I'm sure about. Then over in Job chapter 32, in the verse 22, we find here that Job also refers to something that he was very confident about and that he knew. Verse 22, Job 32, where we read, for I know not to give flattering titles. In doing so, my Maker would soon take me away. And Job here was basically saying, there's coming a judgment day. Every man, every woman, every person will stand before God. And I'm not going to merely speak words that are going to flatter you. Because there's coming a day when I will stand before God and I will give an account. And Job knew this. Do you know? Do you have that assurance? Have you thought about the very reality, the fact that you too are going to stand before God and give an account of your life? Regarding the Lord, Job had great knowledge. Look with me, for instance, at Job chapter 9 and the words of verse 2. Job chapter 9, verse 2, where he said, I know it is so of a truth, and how should man be just with God? Job knew about God's holiness, about his righteousness, about his purity. Job knew that. He understood that. Great question. How can a man be just with God? God is holy. God is pure. Yet man is impure. Man stands as a sinner. And of course, the only way to know God is through Christ as Savior. Then in Job chapter 9 and the verse 28, something else that he knew here is the very fact that God does punish sin. Job chapter 9, verse 28, where we read, I am afraid of all my sorrows. I know that thou wilt not hold me innocent. And so we recognize that very fact. Then in Job chapter 13, we're not going to turn to the portion, but there we read that Job knew about God's omniscience, that God knows all things. Another thing that Job was assured of, that he was very confident about, is found in chapter 42 in the verse 2. Job 42 verse 2, where we read, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Thou canst do everything. The God that he knew, whom he loved, whom he served, was a God who was omnipotent, an all-powerful, an almighty God, a God who could meet the need. In fact, we find that Job based that statement, I know that thou canst do everything, he based it on the chapters and what he had said that went in the content before, in the chapters before, speaking about the sovereignty of God. No man could thwart God's plans. No man could stop the Lord. God has unlimited power. What a great encouragement for us as we seek to serve the Lord, as we seek to reach out to a lost and fallen world. We can serve the Lord with great confidence. Lord, I know that thou canst do everything. Lord, you're able. It may seem impossible. It may seem unachievable. But our God is able to meet the need. What a great God we have. God able to save to the uttermost. Job knew, he understood God is holy, but he understood that he was unholy. That God is infinite, but where he was finite. That God is immortal, but he was a mere mortal man. Job knew and understood that. Then in Job 30, verse 23, a very well-known verse, it speaks to us about death. Job chapter 30, verse 23, for I know that thou wilt bring me to death and to the house appointed for all living. Job understood that. Now let me ask you a very personal question. Do you understand this? Have you grasped the reality, the fact that one day, perhaps even sooner than you thought or imagined, you are going to die and you're going to stand before God? This has been appointed for all men and women. I know that thou wilt bring me to death. Death is coming. But here, Job, whilst he was able to know and understand these things, Job knew with great confidence, with great assurance, with great faith, he could look to the future and rest in the God of his salvation. Job had come to Christ. He had trusted Christ. He had embraced Jesus Christ. In fact, Job chapter 19, the words of verse 25, 6 and 7 are, in effect, Job's testimony. And I want us to consider them just very briefly this evening, just to leave some thoughts with as we consider Job's testimony. Here we find in Job chapter 19, verse 25, where Job testified, for I know that my Redeemer liveth. Here we have his confidence. For I know. Job could look toward the future, and here's something that he was absolutely sure and certain about. He had the assurance of sins forgiven. It was right with his soul. Do you have that assurance? Can you say with absolute confidence, I know that it's well with my soul? I know that I'm right with God. He doesn't have any doubt about the matter. He's assured that he's right with the Lord. He confesses that he knows the Lord. I know. You see, the Lord wants us to enter into the knowledge and the assurance of sins forgiven. Maybe you're a young person in particular and you've questioned or you've doubted You've been lacking that assurance. C.H. Spurgeon said, I doubt the man that never doubted. And we need to examine ourselves whether we be in the faith. It's good to consider our state before the Lord. But the Lord, child of God, wants you to have the assurance when you're saved, the very knowledge, the assurance that it is well with your soul. Job had this confidence. I know. What a great statement. Job's confidence. It's also Job's confession here. He said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. It's wonderful what Job testifies to here. He speaks of the fact of his sin. For he speaks about the fact of being redeemed. Job understood that sin was serious before God. That it had to be paid for. It had to be atoned. That sin had to be forgiven and put away. That he personally, he himself, needed redemption. Salvation is not in what a man can do or what he doesn't do. It's simply by faith in Christ alone. And Job knew that. He confessed this fact. I know that my Redeemer liveth. He testifies, I am redeemed. What a joy it is to know and to love the Lord. You know, whenever we weigh up all the issues of life and we put everything in perspective, the most important thing for us all is to know God, to be saved by the grace of God. For each of us are going to die. We're going to stand before God. We're going to give an account. The question is, are your sins forgiven? Are you under the blood? If you trusted Christ as Savior, he confesses to knowing the Lord. Remember reading quite a number of years ago about a man by the name of Sir James Simpson. And Sir James Simpson was a great pioneer in regards to medicine, a Scottish man, during the time of Queen Victoria. And he made many different scientific discoveries, but one of the discoveries he made was the discovery of the substance chloroform, colorless, odorless liquid used to put people to sleep, and it was really the first major breakthrough in regards to medicine and anesthesia. And whilst he lay on what proved to be his deathbed, he'd become very ill. A young man came in to him and asked him, Sir James, of all your greatest discoveries, which is the greatest you've made in life? No doubt he was thinking, well, he's going to single out the chloroform. Surely that's the greatest. And he said, young man, the greatest discovery I've made in life was the day I discovered that I was a sinner and the day I realized that only Jesus Christ could save me. And I've trusted Christ as Savior. He said, young man, that's the greatest discovery you will ever make in life. Let me ask you, have you made that discovery? Is Christ your Savior? You ready to meet the Lord? Job confessed to this very fact. I know that my Redeemer liveth. You see, Job looked down there through the annals of time, and there he was looking forward to the cross. Christ was going to come. He was going to lay down his life. Job trusted Christ. He spoke with great confidence. He confessed to Christ as Savior. But I want you to consider, Job was convicted about Christ and what was going to happen. He says, for I know that my Redeemer liveth. You see, Jesus Christ would not only come into the world and die there on the cross, but on the third day, God would raise his Son from the dead. And Job looked forward to the resurrection. He believed in the resurrection. And then he went on to say, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, and in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. Job look forward in time to God's provision for sin. The Lord Jesus shedding his blood, dying as the only Savior, the only Redeemer. Job, by faith, trusted in Christ. He looked forward with great confidence, with great conviction, knowing that he too would be raised from the dead. That he too would be united with the Lord. That he too would stand before God and praise him, worship him. Job said, he testified, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Turn with me just very briefly, please, to Matthew chapter 26. Our time is almost gone, but Matthew chapter 26. We have very different words. Verse 74, Matthew chapter 26. Job testified, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Peter here testified. Peter at this point had failed the Lord. He had denied the Lord three times. Look at verse 74. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. Am I speaking to someone here this evening? And there was a time when you once walked well with the Lord. You loved the Lord. You loved the Bible. You loved the place of prayer. You loved the house of God. And yet, there's not that joy. There's not that personal walk. There's not that personal relationship anymore. You're following, as it were, afar off. Things are not how they once used to be. Peter, you see, he departed from the Lord. He then declined in sin. He began to curse with oaths and swearing. Of course, we would think, well, I would never go to that length. The Word of God reminds us to let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. If Peter's denial here, I know not the man. I don't know him at all. We read here, look with me at verse 75. Peter remembered the word of Jesus which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. He wept bitterly. He realized he let the Lord down. But he came back to the Lord. And he was restored in his walk with God. And of course the devil would come and he would say, you're finished. It's all over. You fail the Lord. You'll never do anything for the Lord. We haven't time to look at it, but in the book of Acts, I think it's beautiful the way Peter is, in particular, is singled out. Peter standing, Peter preaching, Peter serving. Peter's used by the Lord. Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Peter testified at that particular point in time, I know not the man. Then Pharaoh testified in Exodus chapter 5, I know not the Lord. There as he was confronted about the need to let the children of Israel go. But much more he was confronted about the God of heaven, the one before he would have to stand and give an account. Pharaoh testified, I know not the Lord. Who is the Lord? Why should I obey his voice? I will not let the children of Israel go. Pharaoh perished in his sin in the Red Sea. Tell me, where do you stand tonight? On this Lord's Day evening, this another resurrection day, when we think about the resurrection of our blessed Savior, where do you stand with the Lord? Is it well with your soul? Are you right with God? Do you have the assurance, the confidence? Can you say, I know with absolute certainty, it's well with my soul. I know that my Redeemer liveth. Jesus Christ is alive. He's alive forevermore. I'm trusting in him. I'm resting in him. I'm born again of the Spirit of God. I'm ready for heaven and for home. Do you know the Lord? If not, why not? Why not come to Christ tonight? Trust the Lord. Come, taste and see that the Lord, He is good.